understand, but we may not understand how to relate each part with the other, but simple statements here and there are profound, and we will get what we can as we read. So we'll see how far we can get tonight, and let me read you, starting at verse 1, until I find a good stopping place. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of an heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, even as also was Moses in all his house. We found out that this house is not a building like the tabernacle, not the temple of Solomon, but it's the people of God. The church is not a building. This is a church building, but the church is not a building. The church consists of those that belong to Christ, and God's house is the church looked upon as a household, a family. So when it says, Moses was faithful in all his house, that is, the nation of Israel, that was God's house in the Old Testament. Verse 2, for he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses by so much as he that built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken, but Christ as a son over his house. Now, that's how it literally is, over his house, whose house we are. Do you see? That explains it now. Whatever house you were thinking about, it says whose house we are we, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. That's probably as far as we'll be able to get tonight. So let's consider some of the glorious things that are spoken of here. First of all, if it's the epistle to the Hebrews, you say, well, I'm not a Hebrew, I'm not a Jew. Why am I reading it? Because whether you are in Hebrew, a Jew, or a Gentile, if you are saved, you still are included in the house of God. In the Old Testament, the house of God consisted mainly of Hebrews. They were the ones that Moses was sent to redeem from Egypt. Once in a while, an outsider would come in. You remember Rahab of Jericho. You remember Ruth the Moabitess. Once in a while, you had foreigners that became a part of that house. But in the Old Testament, the house in which Moses was faithful was the household of Israel. So, when it's speaking in chapter 3 of the household, even though it may be thinking especially of Hebrew saints, and they have special temptations, still, they are Hebrew saints that are one with Gentile saints. This is the teaching of Ephesians chapter 2. There was a middle wall of partition, but it says that Christ broke down the middle wall of partition and hath made of the twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man. So, in the church, there are Jews and Gentiles. And on earth, they never lose that identity. Some people say, why, the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Gentile. You'll find in Romans 16, the churches of the Gentiles. What does it mean? It means those that were composed mainly of those that were Gentile by race. And then in Jerusalem, you had mostly those that were Jewish by race. But if you look at it simply as Christ's spiritual church, there was neither Jew nor Gentile. So this is the way it speaks of us. And it's so funny to see the way that the Bible speaks of us and the world speaks of us. If someone asked me who I was, I would say, my name is Saint John. They would say, are you a saint? I would say, yes. And what else can you tell me about yourself? I am holy. You are holy? Yes. And I'm a citizen of heaven. But what kind of bragging is this? It's no bragging at all. It is simply declaring what God has told me concerning myself. And if there is such a thing as humility, and I refuse to acknowledge that these things are true of me, it is a false humility, and you are detracting from Christ's bestowals upon you because of the many things that he's given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. For a person to read such things, I am a holy brother, a partaker of a heavenly calling. Yes, you are. If you are born again, this is the description of you. Now, I want to explain this word, holy brethren. Look up at verse 11 in chapter 2. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified. When a person is sanctified, he becomes a holy brother. Now, I want to read you and bring to your attention another thought. It says in Colossians chapter 1, to the saints and faithful brethren, and so we are called saints in Colossians, but the saints in Colossians is the same word, holy, in Hebrews. So a saint is a holy brother. A saint is one who has been taken out of the world, set apart for special purposes for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what it means when you are a saint. It does not mean that you are especially holy. It does not mean that you are especially separated from sin and corruption. It should be, but this is a positional thing. And what we are to conform to in our lives practically in this world. But however you may be, how close or how far you are from becoming conformed to the description that God gives of you, you are still holy and you are still one of the brethren. And another thing, and what I've been saying, I'm guilty of myself. But look in chapter 2 at verse 11 again. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's telling me that I am not only part of the family of God, your brother, you are my brother, and I'm yours, but it's telling me that I am brother to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, he is not ashamed to call us brethren, his brethren. Why? Because, forasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same. So he is brother to humanity, apart from sin, and he is brother to every member of the family of God, because he's God's son. And we are God's sons. And he is not ashamed to call us brethren. But I do not think that you'll often hear me say, brother Jesus, because I feel somewhat the way that Peter did when he saw the Savior girded with a towel about to wash his feet. And he said, are you going to wash my feet? And the Lord Jesus said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now. So, if it's great humility and reverence for the Lord, you say, my brother, then it's scriptural. If you say, I am a saint, I am holy, it is scriptural. If you say, I am not only a citizen of earth, but I am a citizen of heaven, all of this is true. And it's true not because of anything of yourself, but it is that which you have been made, which Christ has bestowed upon you when you trusted him as your Savior. How great, how elevated does one who has been lifted from an horrible pit become when Christ reaches down and lifts him up. And so these are some of the things. Holy brethren, and now you're associated with Christ, who is not ashamed to call us brethren. I once was a part of the world, but now I've been taken out of the world. I am sanctified, I am holy, I am a saint, and I'm partaker of a heavenly calling. I want you to remember this, and I will tell you two scriptures that bring it to your mind. It says in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Well then, that I am a partaker of a heavenly calling. And I want you to see this. Turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And so let's look at verse in chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham looked for the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then it speaks of the faithfulness, that Sarah. And then look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he prepared for them a city. Notice, you thought that the Old Testament saints just had their eyes set on the promised land, Palestine. That was part of it. But it says they desire in verse 16 a better country, that is, an heavenly country. And because of that, God is not ashamed of them to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. So, lift up your head and say, I am a citizen of heaven. I am a partaker of a heavenly calling. I am a holy brother. I am a child of God. That is the way he looks upon us. And when those things strike you so forcibly, say, what manner of man or woman ought I to be in this world of which I am a citizen, but also I am a citizen of that heavenly sphere, and God has prepared for me a city. All right, having told us what we are, it says something about Christ. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Notice two things. Christ is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's the one that we speak of, that we acknowledge, that we've called upon to be our Savior. He is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, two things. Look in chapter 2 again, please. Verse 17. Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Notice, a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. A high priest and things pertaining to God. A priest is representative of man in things pertaining to God. But Christ as the apostle, look back at verse 1 now in chapter 3, but Christ as the apostle is God's representative of things pertaining to man. So as an apostle, the Savior represents God to men, and as an high priest, he represents men to God. So both sides are here. God sent him. An apostle is simply a sent one. And that's what Jesus Christ is. And a high priest is a representative one. He represents us in the presence of God. And as the bread that came down from heaven, he is the apostle. And he represents God to us. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And he is the apostle, the one that came and brought good news about his Father, even Jesus. Now, it says that he, in verse 2, was faithful to him that appointed him. I see. Then that is his faithfulness as the apostle. He was faithful to him, the Father, that appointed him. So here we have a faithful apostle in his responsibilities to men. Look in chapter 2 at verse 17, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So he is faithful also to us. He is faithful as apostle. He is faithful as priest. So in every respect, he's brought to our attention for consideration. And the only word that describes him in the sphere and in the activity that God sent him to do, and that now we rejoice that he is doing as an apostle, what is Jesus Christ? Faithful. As a high priest, what is Jesus Christ? Faithful. And so we can rejoice. Now, faithful to him that appointed him, in chapter 3, verse 2, as also was Moses in all his house. Now we have two spheres. We have God's house in the Old Testament, and please notice that the Lord always has had his people, and here they are called God's house. And God looked down upon his house in Egypt, and he heard their cry, and after those hundreds of years, he sent Moses. You know the old spiritual. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. So here is Moses, and God sent him, and it says he was faithful in all his house. Now, I want you to see that. Turn to Numbers chapter 12, because this is such an encouragement. Numbers chapter 12, because you and I at times speak of the Lord's servants and we say, he is a faithful servant. But now let's look at verse 4, Numbers 12, 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Why? Because Aaron and Miriam have been criticizing Moses. They say, who are you that you exalt yourself above us? Has the Lord indeed spoken only with Moses? Has he not also spoken with us? So, as we have Nadab and Abihu, as we have the sons of Korah, as we have Korah and his rebellion, we always find people that are jealous of a man that God has exalted and wants to use. And so, in this chapter, it is Miriam and Aaron, and you'll find in number 16 it's going to be Korah and Dathan and Abiram. You'll find that these are the ones that are rebelling against him. And so God steps in. Look at verse 4. And I want you to remember this. When people criticize the servants of the Lord, try to discover what God says about it, not what men say about him. If you ask Aaron and Miriam, what about Moses? What is his position? Well, yes, God has spoken to him, but God has spoken to us also. Ask Korah. Korah would say, you know better than I am. You understand that we had the same grandfather. Why, there's no difference in you. But God said, there is a difference. God makes a distinction. And so look at verse 4. It says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye out, ye three, unto the tent of meeting. And they three came out. And the Lord came down on a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tent and called them Aaron and Miriam. And they came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. In a vision, I will speak with him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. Now, do you understand where Hebrews 3, the words that I read to you come from? Moses was faithful in all his house. Where did the author get that? Right here. God himself said it. Moses is faithful in all my house. And then he says, in the last part of verse 8, Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And I want you to remember that. Even though one is your master, all you are brethren, it speaks about some that are over you in the Lord, to esteem them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake. And so, there is that distinction. And yet, you'll find that familiarity breeds contempt, and Korah says, Who are you, Moses, and who are you, Aaron? And even Miriam and Aaron say to their brother, Who are you, Moses? God has spoken to us. Remember that there are certain positions that God gives. And God says concerning Moses, He is faithful in all my house. That's God's testimony. Now, turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. And we're reading these words spoken by God in the Old Testament, now reiterated by the author of Hebrews in the New Testament. So, we find two that were faithful. One in the past, Moses, as a servant in the household of God, the nation of Israel. But it says also that the Lord Jesus is faithful in all his house, God's house. So, God had a house then, consisting mostly of Jews. He has a house now, consisting mostly of Gentiles. Some Jews, yes, mostly Gentiles. In the Old Testament, mostly Jews, some Gentiles. And at that time, the prominent figure was Moses. And in this time, the prominent figure is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God wants to do is to compare these men, and they are the same in this sense. There is a house. There are people of God that need to be cared for in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And God sent Moses to Egypt to care for his people there. And he sent the Lord Jesus from heaven to care for his people in Palestine. So here we have two. But now, in this respect, you look over the life of Moses, faithful. You look over the life of the Lord Jesus, faithful. Well, what's the difference? The difference is this. When I read you from Numbers 12, I emphasized it, wanted you to hear it. God said, Moses, my servant, is not so. Here, the Father says, This is my beloved son. And now, that distinction is going to be brought out. Look at verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken, but Christ as a son over his house. You say, that is the difference. Moses was a servant. He was one of the nation of Israel, and he was a servant serving servants. The Lord Jesus is a son, and he is over the house. Moses was a servant in the house. And what a distinction. Think of this now. The simplest illustration is the exalted position that Eliezer had as the servant of Abraham. Abraham thought that he was not going to have a son, and he said, Eliezer, my servant, shall be my heir. But understand that Eliezer was a servant in the household of Abraham. That's all he was. But then, when Abraham was 100 years old, Isaac, his son, was born. And then Isaac was son over the house of Abraham. And this is what the servant then said. He said, God hath given my master a son in his old age, and my master hath given him all that he hath. And so that's the difference. Eliezer, faithful as a servant in all of Abraham's house. Isaac, faithful as a son in all of his father's house. And there is always that distinction. No matter how faithful Eliezer was, he was always a servant. And no matter how faithful Isaac was, his father would never condescendingly look upon him as a servant, but it was his son. And this is the distinction that is made. But let us rejoice that it says that both of them were faithful. And that is what God is looking for today. And I will introduce this now. Here are the Jews, and when the blind man tried to speak of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, you are Jesus' disciple. We are Moses' disciples. You see the exalted place they gave Moses and the lowly place they gave Jesus. You are Jesus' disciple. Now, here is God himself through the Holy Spirit saying, you are Moses' disciples. Now, you Hebrew Christians are Jesus' disciples. That is the important thing. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is son over us. And he is the one who, though son, he humbled himself and became obedient. And so these are some of the things that are being brought to their attention to keep them from apostatizing. Now, time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for the glorious things that thou hast spoken of us. Indeed, you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You prepared for us a heavenly city, a new Jerusalem. We are so thankful, our God. So let us consider Jesus. Consider that he did become man. He was made a little lower than the angels. But let us remember that in that condescension, he was still God manifest in the flesh. He was the Son over the house. So let us consider him, and our hearts will rejoice, and they will be made strong because of him who is our great and faithful high priest. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.